If y'all would do keep your attention there on these three catechism questions on page 872. This summer, as Claude mentioned this morning, we're going through these benefits that come to us as a result of belonging to Jesus Christ. These are things that we have not earned, but have been given to us. Things that we are given that we might glorify Him and have great comfort, hope, and security and boldness because of these things. The past few weeks we looked at question number 37. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? Sorry, that's tonight. My bad. The past few weeks we've done 36. I've got everything else perfect. I just started off wrong. All right. So the first few weeks we did 36. What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? And the answer was that the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. And number 37, which takes us into our death. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory. And our bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in our graves till the resurrection. That's tonight. And then the next couple of weeks will be on 38. Patrick and Kurt will take us to the benefits we will receive at the resurrection. At the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 14, and then we'll look at various scriptures as we think tonight of what comes to us at our death. John chapter 14, these words from Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Let's pray. Almighty God, who is right now holding us fast, who has held us fast and will hold us fast, who's holding us fast is our hope and our refuge. Would you, as we think about and talk about what Jesus is giving to us at our death by His grace, would you bring comfort? Would you make us strong? Would you deepen our faith? Would you free us from all the lesser things that we hold so dear? Oh, that this look at our inheritance it might be motivational and helpful and give us rest. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, it was around this time last summer that my wife and I and our daughter went to Tuscaloosa for an orientation meeting. And they explain what's going to happen. And so for my daughter, she's sitting there listening and like, this is going to be my experience. And for her loved ones, we're listening and saying, this will be the experience of this one that we love. And it was described. And so tonight we find ourselves really in both of those seats. What you've heard in the catechism and what you hear from the scripture, that if you are in Christ, this is your future. If you belong to Jesus, if you, to quote the daddy of Brent Woodall, if you've got your ticket, this is your future. And for those that you have loved who knew Jesus, this is their experience now. This is what they're doing. This is wonderful and heavy things. And I, just in my own life, and I know in yours, you can go through and you can think of names of, these are people that I love. For some, our parents. For some, our grandparents. For some, our brothers. For some, our children. For some, our spouses. That we can attach names and faces and smells and memories to people who are experiencing what we'll hear about now. There's just these two simple things that the Catechism talks about, and I'm going to stay close to them because they're just so good. It talks about what happens with the soul and then what happens with the body. And then I've got a third point that's kind of a hang on. The body and the soul, and then one other thing. First is we'll talk about the souls. Now, this is not some deep philosophical explanation to tell you about what humans are. I'm going to break it down very simply for you. This is what a person is. There's two parts to a person. There's a physical part and there is a non-physical part. God made people, made them out of the earth, from the dirt, the physical, and he gave his spirit, his image, to them. There is this physical part of who we are, and yet there's also a non-physical part of who we are. And this catechism points to the reality that this is how we were created. Both parts of us are bruised and broken by the fall into sin. Both parts of you, the physical you and the part of you that's non-physical, have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And both parts of you, when he has come to this earth to make all things new and to restore everything to the way it's supposed to be, he means you and the you that is non-physical. And so first they talk about the non-physical, the soul. What happens to the soul at death? First, it is made perfect in holiness. The first thing they mention is that the soul is made perfect in holiness. I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 12, two verses. This is a vision of what happens when we worship. When we worship, somehow mysteriously by the Spirit, we literally enter heaven, the presence of God. Supernatural stuff happens whenever we gather together. And Hebrews 12 says this is what happens in worship. Verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, royalty, party, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. We join with them, the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than Abel. We're referred to as the spirits of the righteous made perfect. That's the souls of those who have died in Christ. Romans 8 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. The creation is groaning for the completion of the human person, what we were built to be, for the fullness of that revelation, the redemption of our bodies. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we are being transformed into Christ's likeness. Romans 8 later says we're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. This idea that we are made perfect in holiness, y'all, this the completion. You ever seen a project that finally got finished? That was perfect, that the architect had designed, and that all the people had cleared the land, and that there'd been a structure go up and drywall and whatever, all the materials, and a roof goes on it and carpet goes down, and then there's this ribbon cutting, and what has been planned and executed and sweated over is completed. The idea is that's what happens when we pass from life to death, is that this incredible work that so much of our life goes to, our souls being made perfect, is in a moment, you are done with sin. The albatross that has been around our neck, the anchor that has weighed you down, that is gone. That we are delivered from the very presence of sin. We can't get more perfect than this perfect, this complete restoration, this being made completely sin-free. This is the promise, the souls of the righteous made perfect. God is going to complete us. He is going to restore us back to what He designed us to be. You won't be jealous. You won't be fearful. You won't be angry. You won't be discontent. None of these things. That we will be relationally perfect. I wanted to read very briefly from a writing that I came across this week about our relational, what we long for. This person says, praying, Jesus, finally and fully, we will love each other the way You have loved us. Such a state of relational glory is inconceivable to us. All our relationships are going to be perfect, beautiful, and fulfilling. It'll be an expression of the life, joy, and intimacy You've always enjoyed with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We'll never fail or hurt one another again. No more meanness or madness, badness or bitterness, abuse or misuse. We'll never have to apologize, forgive, and reconcile about anything. Because we are complete. Because we are done with sin. Because God has made us finally and fully perfect in righteousness. This work that will cause all of heaven to rejoice and will also do something to us. You know, I think there's some element in which we'll be so beautiful, you won't know, you won't recognize yourself. And yet, at the same time, there will be elements that you saw flashes of this. And that we will say to our children, to our spouses, to our friends, I saw the beginnings of that in you. I tasted of it in the life before. Those beautiful moments of love and generosity and courage and freedom and forgiveness and hope, those few clean moments we get in this life are just going to be 24/7. Extrapolated and expounded and louder and larger. We're going to be made perfect. And then the second thing they mention is that the souls of believers immediately pass into glory. Immediately pass into glory. There is no waiting. In other words, when we lose someone, if you're in the room, there's no lag time. They are in the very presence of God the moment they are no longer in our presence. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And y'all, when it says that we will immediately pass into glory, glory is not some impersonal, you know, force field of goodness. Glory emanates from a person, from the God who is glorious, from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are glory. We come into their presence in a way that we've never known before. So drastically different. I mean, here we talk about and we do experience in drips and drabs the presence of Jesus and knowing that He was with me in that moment and knowing that He will be there for you this week and knowing that He'll be with you in that trial. And those things are true and right. But comparatively, they are drips and drabs. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul spoke. He said, I find myself betwixt, the King James says. I have this desire to depart and be with Christ. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. Aren't you with Christ by His Spirit, Paul? Well, yes, of course. But there is some kind of dynamic going on. He talks the same way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He goes like this. We know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And so there is some way in which when the believer's soul passes into glory immediately, we are with God in which a way that we have never been before. I think even of this little boy, and they had probably heard, he'd heard sounds of the parents and the sister's voice, and those were real and they meant something to him. But then he gets catapulted into their very arms. And that voice that he used to hear out of a machine is literally, physically touching his ear. He is with his parents in a way that he wasn't just through the drips and drabs of the voice and the pictures and all of that. And that's what Paul is mentioning, and that's what he is pointing to. There is so much more. So much more. It is good now. It's going to get better. The other day I was walking. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. I was raised in the South, so I'm used to this. It's hot at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was like 70-something degrees and 200% humidity. And I walked past one of my neighbors, and he's doing some raking. And I said, "Hey," and he says, "I'm doing this before it gets hot." I know what he means. Now, I mean, he's right. It's hot now. But I know what he means. It's going to be hotter. It's good now. It's going to be gooder. To walk with Jesus, to know Him, to have His presence in a trial, to have His promises, to have His Spirit, to be with His people. It's good. But it's still early. It's going to get better later in the day. And so the souls of believers are made perfect in righteousness and pass immediately into glory, into the presence of God. Well, what about the physical aspects of who we are? Because remember, we were created, body and soul. We were created physical and non-physical. We've just had in great detail described about what happens with the non-physical. What about the physical? The catechism writers say that our bodies will, because we're still united to Jesus, our bodies will rest. Our bodies will rest in the grave until the resurrection. And so the bodies rest in the grave. Two things underneath that, two little subs. Because they're united to Jesus and until the resurrection. Romans 8:23 says this, that not only the creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Do you hear what God's understanding of His adoption of us is? It isn't just your little soul getting up here with me. It is the redemption of your body, of the physicality of who God has made us to be. 1 Thessalonians 4 refers to believers as those who sleep in Jesus. The body rests, united to Jesus until the resurrection. So this is where I get to the third point and kind of a hang on here, because I want to make sure that this is clear. First, these benefits that I have described, these benefits do not come to a person strictly by expiring, by dying. These are not accomplished just by death. These happen for people who die connected to Jesus. Everyone within the sound of my voice is going to die. The ones who will experience what we've just talked about are those who die connected to Jesus. There is no other way. Sadly, in our, you know, where we live and how we live now, basically whenever someone physically passes away, whether it's on television or, you know, you'll just hear, well, they're in a better place or what have you. Y'all, that is not necessarily true. If they died not connected to Jesus, they've seen the last of the good days. We need to be straight with ourselves and with a broken world that there is a great hope in the gospel. But it is a great hope which only comes as you are connected with Jesus. You don't have to work your way to be connected with Him. You don't have to do anything or promise it. You come to Him. You ask Him to wrap His arm around you, and you are His. And He is yours. So note this, that these things come to those who are in Christ. And there ought to be within all of us a sense where we can identify with Daniel. And knowing that while we were just clueless to what was going on in the world, somebody full of love, full of mercy, full of power, full of authority came and got us. The Lord Jesus Christ came and got us with all of His authority and all of His power and all of His love, and is bringing us home. And that every member of this church ought to be able to see that boy growing up and wink at him and say, I know, me too. Secondly, while the body resting and the soul going immediately into God's presence and being made perfect, those are forever. They're not the ultimate. This is describing what theological people call the intermediate state. What I've just described to you is what happens when we die, but it's not the ultimate. Imagine, if you will, a family from Atlanta who's taking their children to Disney World for the first time. And about 45 minutes north of Disney World, if there was a McDonald's that had like the most beautiful McDonald's playground you'd ever seen. You know, and they stop there and their kids are just going, it can't get better than this. This has got to be the ultimate. And their parents are pulling them away, saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's the penultimate. As good as heaven, the promise is of what happens to us, it is not over. God's work is not done. Johnny Cash sang, I don't know if he wrote it or not, but ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. And the next few weeks, you'll hear about the promise of God, how committed God is to the physical and to earth, and as He will bring the new heavens and the new earth. And so let me, by way of application, give you a couple things, and then we're going to go and have some ice cream, cool treats. First, because your soul is going to pass immediately into God's presence and it will be made perfect in righteousness, and because your body is going to rest in the grave, fight against sin, fight against injustice in this world, fight against all that is not of the beauty and glory of God, whether it's in you or in His world. Because these things are true, repent. There's going to be a day when we will look back on these things and just say, what? How in the world was that a big deal to me? Why did I run after that? And they're not going to be this huge guilt trip. I'm not trying to push that. But just, you know, to know, to live our lives as if we've got this investment and we've got this future and we can let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, that just there's nothing that we have to hold on to except Jesus. Risk. God's got you. He's going to bring you home. He has brought home everybody who has belonged to Him already. He's undefeated. He's going to remain undefeated. He's going to bring you home. Therefore, you can risk and take steps of faith. Therefore, you can repent of your sin. Therefore, you can hope with great joy. Therefore, you can encourage one another that this is their future in Jesus as well. John Newton talks kind of like this in one of his letters. He says, imagine somebody in East Montgomery who's been told, you know, that there's a great inheritance that has been left for them. They need to come downtown and sign for it and it'll be theirs. And imagine around, let's say, Jackson Hospital, their car breaks down. Now, how are you going to get out of that car on the freeway outside of Jackson Hospital? Are you going to be kicking the tires and bemoaning how horrible your state is? Or are you going to be huffing it, footing it towards your inheritance, because so great is what you're going to that the troubles of this life, the frustrations, yeah, the pain, that they get overshadowed. They get influenced by the inheritance that we're headed towards. That God's presence is the ultimate. It's what our loved ones in Christ are already enjoying, and to which we are headed. by God's grace, may He make us a people who celebrate this, who see it going deeper in us, and who see it transforming us in greater and larger measures for more and more people. Let's pray. Almighty God, would You, for the glory of Your name, would You grant that every person in the hearing of my voice would settle that this is their future by simply trusting in Jesus alone? And would You then fuel us by the hope that is ours, the hope of glory, the hope of You, the hope of freedom? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen and amen.